Yankees win!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
We lost a $900 million bid to buy the LA Rams.
Look, that contract extension was for $176 million.
The stadium will cost $1.1 billion.
Champions are made and cash always follows. But where did it all start? These are the true stories of the blockbuster sports deals that went down in the locker room, boardroom, and between the lines that made many people very, very wealthy. From Entrepreneur Media, this is The Playbook. I'm CEO of Sports One Marketing and your host, Dave Meltzer. Today, I have a very special guest. This will be probably the easiest podcast.
Special guest is what you're calling it?
Exactly. I was going to say the easiest podcast I've ever done. It's like bringing your best friend on just to have a conversation. It's kind of awkward.
I thought your last guest might have didn't show, so you just needed me.
I did. Exactly. I got to fill in. I got 10 of these I got to do within a week. And you're number 10. Number one in my heart, number one in my playbook.
There you go.
I got Warren Moon here in the Sports One Marketing studio. Not only is he the co-founder and business partner of Sports One Marketing and a dear, dear, I call him my best friend, but I'm one of his 100 best friends. But more importantly, you know, this is an entrepreneur show. And, you know, I'm blessed to know you as a player, but most importantly, as a businessman. And it, you know, I have a nickname that I stole from his childhood friends called QB1 Kenobi, because this is a really wise man. And he is someone that I come to for sage advice. And I've learned more about business. You know, I've gone to business school, law school, great colleges, but I can honestly say I've learned more about business from Warren Moon than probably people have learned about football from Warren Moon. So Warren, you know, first question is, most people don't know, but you were an entrepreneur at a young age. And I think even before you played football, you had this entrepreneurial spirit. You were a paper boy. And give us a little background on where this entrepreneur side of you came from.
Well, a lot of it came from my upbringing, you know, being the only boy, the only male in my household. You know, I had six sisters and my mom. My dad passed away when I was young. So I always had to have some type of job in order to make money to do the other things that I wanted to do, whether it was go to the movies or go swimming or do whatever it was that you needed extra money for. I wanted to help my mother out any way I possibly could. So I always had these part-time jobs, whether it was delivering papers, whether it was working as a ball boy attendant after school during the week, just all types of odd jobs. And my mom had a friend that was a chef in restaurants, and his job was to go around to a number of restaurants that this company owned and make them he was like a troubleshooter. He made sure that he went inside and saw what was wrong, cleaned it.
There's a TV show about that. Yeah, yeah, the guy that goes exactly, and cleans up the bad businesses.
This was being
done. Too bad we didn't have reality
shows.
This was
being done way back in the 70s. So I was kind of working with him on doing that. I would go in there and we would kind of reorganize the restaurant. My job was to go in, do inventory, clean up everything, get everything organized. His job, of course, was the business side of it, to make the business work more efficiently. So I was like 12, 13, 14 years old when I'm doing this, and I'm learning all this. And it taught me how to be really organized. It taught me to be really clean and efficient. And I'm that way now in my regular life because of that training that I got from him at a very, very young age. And I always, in working in these restaurants, I always used to say, man, I sure would love to have my own business one day. And because of my baking background, which was taught to me by my mom when I was in high school, when I went to Canada at 23 years old, I started my own cookie business. So entrepreneurial, that type of mindset has been in me for a long time. And I started a business at a very, very young age.
And that cookie business was successful. He actually exited that business. He sold it to Mrs. Fields Cookies. Mm-hmm. And you had 9 franchises?
Yeah, I had 5 in Canada and 4 in Houston. And trying to be a quarterback to make your mark on the league, it takes a lot of time and effort. And I just didn't feel like I had the time to put into a business and do it right and also be the type of quarterback that I wanted to be. So you have to kind of be focused at something in order to be good at it. And I just felt like it was fun doing the cookie business. It taught me a lot about business, taught me a lot about how to manage people and things like that. But it just wasn't the right time for me to be having a business full time and still trying to be the best quarterback I could be. So that's why I sold the business. But I sure had a lot of fun doing it, and I learned a whole lot from it.
Well, you know, if I were you, I mean, you're great looking, you're clean, You are organized. For me, I would have just married Rich. Like, why get hit so many times, 9 concussions? Like, it's so easy for you. Just get, I mean, if I looked as good as you, just marry Rich, like find Joan Crocker or somebody. And, you know, who needs Cookie franchise? You could have married Mrs. Fields.
Well, at 7 years old, when I lost my dad, I just didn't think about being married. You know, yeah, I thought about what can I do to help my family and what could I do to make money and make it easier on my mom, because she was taking care of us. And you come from a similar type background. You know, your mom pretty much raised all your brothers and sisters, so you know what that type of life is all about, and it teaches you a lot about work ethic. You have a greater appreciation for what she went through, and that's kind of where I learned a lot of my work ethic, from watching the way she took care of our family and made everything work. And I never felt like I was poor, even though we didn't have a lot of money, because of how she provided for us and made everything so simple for us. I always had a hot meal on the table. I always had clean clothes on my back. If I needed something for sports, somehow she found a way for me to get it. So she was just a great mentor for me and a great role model for me to look at and admire growing up. And it really taught me a lot about who I am today.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Calvin Coolidge, and he talks about persistence, right? He says it's omnipotent, that the world's full of educated people, you know, that don't make it, talented people that don't make it. But, you know, one of the things I think you and I share is that, you know, our moms both, with all types of, you know, challenges with all these kids, you know, I had the opposite of you, 5 boys, 1 girl, right. Which was probably more rowdy, but a lot less drama.
lot less drama.
Yeah, poor Warren. But, you know, this idea of persistence, when I look at your career and mine, you know, we carried that attitude of persistence that, you know, everything didn't go our way.
No.
And yet, you know, here we are, and we both will say we're two of the most blessed people. We're true entrepreneurs. We're still, we don't need to do it.
Right.
But we drive to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. What is it that you see is one of the biggest mistakes? Because you know, you watch a lot of athletes in business, businessmen like you. What do you see as like one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make, in, that either on the field or off the field, that you've learned when you're watching? Because, you know, I bring a lot of deal flow, and you see, and you're just so wise, like, oh, this won't work. What's that big mistake that you see that a lot of these entrepreneurs make?
I think they probably fall too much in love in their product, or fall too much in love in what it is that they're either trying to sell or their business or whatever. And they don't want to listen to anybody else. They know all the answers for what is best for their business, what's not best for their business, as opposed to listening maybe to some other advice. And me as a quarterback, even though I'm the guy that's on the field and making all the decisions, I really tried to get input from everybody, whether it was offensive linemen. If I felt like a defensive lineman was getting an advantage on a pass rush because maybe my snap count was the same, I want to ask them, do I need to change my snap count up right now to help you guys out? Or if it's a wide receiver, there's a certain route that you think you can get open on, and how do you want to beat a guy? I'm always asking for input from my guys, and it's going to make me better and make them feel more involved in what's going on in our success. And I think if other people did that in their businesses, they would have a little bit more success by listening to other people, listening to the people that they hire, give those people that type of confidence that you will listen to some of their suggestions. That doesn't mean you're going to do everything that they say or everything that they suggest, but at least they know from time to time you are, and they feel like they have an input into what the success is.
Before we continue the interview, here's a word from our sponsor. Champions have tools that help them win, ranging from the strict diets to the shoes they choose to wear. When they go to the boardroom, a single tool stands out to make sure they are productive and get the best deal possible. Their Black Moleskine Notebook from Best Self Company. Check out the Best Self Journal at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. Okay, let's get back to the interview. Yeah, that's amazing. This is Dave Meltzer on the Playbook with Entrepreneur, here with my best friend and business partner, Warren Moon from Sports One Marketing. And he brings up a great point, like the biggest mistake that I made in my life, because number one, not only was I in love with my product and my business when I was younger, but I was in love with myself in the wrong way.
I love myself.
Exactly. And I was afraid to ask for help. You know, I had all these great business ventures, but I call it the dummy tax, right? It's so easy. And here you are, truly one of the most successful athletes, not just football players, but Canadian Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, California Hall of Fame, you know, unbelievable success on and off the field. And yet your biggest piece of advice is, I don't know what I don't know. And I see most people, number one, in love with their product, which is how we start our business. We were right. monetizing the irrationality of middle-aged men and women because they love sports so much. We said, we're going to make money from sports and help people. But two, just ask for help. People love to help other people. And, you know, that moves me towards what I really like about our business model, not just make a lot of money, but help a lot of people. You've had a foundation for 27 years.
Yeah.
And the Crescent Moon Foundation, you know, I think that a lot of your success on and off the field comes from the fact that you're actually a really selfless person, right? The main motivation for you was, number one, take care of your family. Like, you wanted to be a great quarterback because right. you love the game, but you really, the money side of it was always for others. You still, you know, they make fun of us for the cars we get into after we get out of the limo and all the glitz and hype. You and I get into very humble cars, and we both have had the same experience. You know, we get out of that limo and we're both going to our car, and it was like, what's that about?
Exactly.
You know, some of my cars don't even fit you. But, you know, tell us about the motivation about the Crescent Moon Foundation and what that does and why it's so important to you.
Well, I think, first of all, giving back is important to me because I learned a lot of that, again, from my mom. She was a lady that, again, we didn't have a whole lot in our family, but whatever we had, she offered to everybody in the neighborhood, whether it was a family that might have been dealing with a death and she was going to make, you know, dinner for their family, or if kids were over our house and wanted to have lunch or dinner or whatever, she provided stuff like that for them. She's just a very caring person, and she was a nurse, so she was a caregiver by profession as well. So I saw a lot of that in her growing up. And then when I became a professional, Lee Steinberg, my agent at the time, really wanted all of his players to get back involved in the community and maybe start a foundation or find something they were passionate about as far as giving back. So that's where the structure of my giving heart came from. He guided me in a direction to start my foundation. And something that was very important to me was education, because I knew if I was going to go to college because of our background and my family, my mother wasn't going to be able to pay for it. So it was either going to be, I'm going to have an athletic scholarship or academic scholarship. Now, I was a good student, but I wasn't a brilliant student.
You weren't a Meltzer, for God's sake,
I knew I wasn't
right?
getting an
academic. I wasn't a Moon, and you weren't a Meltzer.
Yeah, I wasn't getting an academic scholarship. So athletic scholarship was going to be my key to get to college. So that was always my thinking. Pro football was never the big thinking for me. It was more of a dream that I wanted to get that scholarship to get to college, to get a college degree so I could get a good job and take care of myself. But I just kept progressing and getting better, and it turned into a career. But education was the big thing for me because she stressed it so much. And I felt like everybody can't be a professional quarterback like myself. Even guys who are quarterbacks, they might not make it to that next level. And then everybody can't be a Justin Bieber, or everybody can't be a Janet Jackson, or some of these entertainers that are making all this money. But they can be successful in life if they have education behind them. So my foundation, our mission was to make sure that we could help young high school students get to college that didn't have the means to do it. But we also wanted kids that were involved in their community, that were giving back to their community. So that's kind of how the Crescent Moon Foundation got set up, basically by my attorney, Lee Steinberg, giving me the impetus and also the structure, and then me having that mission of what was most important to me. And I thought education was the most important thing to me as far as what I could provide for young kids going forward to help them be successful.
Yeah, and we share that with education being so important. And one of my favorite things is it's not just the grades. I love the fact that you invest in the kids that may have bigger challenges financially, but still are enlightened enough
right.
to give back to their communities. It's very community-based and give-back based off of these. And the resumes that we see are extraordinary.
Unbelievable,
you know, I had
yeah.
a kid from Berkeley, like a 4.6 GPA. I don't even know you could get that high of a GPA, and she volunteered. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness, how yeah. the heck can these kids even get into school?
Some of these stories are mind-blowing. You have students in high school that are taking care of their families, taking care of their parents because their parents can't take care of themselves, or they're taking care of siblings and still going to school and still giving time into these communities. So there's some extraordinary applications that we go through, and it makes it very hard to pick the students that we pick, because there's so many kids out there that are deserving and want to go forward and have the desire and the work ethic and that, but you can't help them all.
Yeah, no doubt. And that work ethic is so important. You know, everybody faces challenges, especially entrepreneurs, and that persistence is so important. You know, I look at your career, and you and I have had this discussion, but, you know, I want to know your thoughts that, you know, it was very challenging for you to not be drafted, right? And, you know, I think it had to do with the social and economic times of racist attitudes towards having an African-American face to a franchise. I know you're the last person to be bitter and to do these things. I personally believe it was just, that was the times in the 70s. But I also believe that the biggest challenges in both of our lives have made us who we are. And I wonder, do you think that if Warren Moon was drafted in the top five and was a starting quarterback within the first 3 years in his NFL career, that you would have been the same caliber of quarterback? Did you have that in you? Or was it because you spent 6 years knowing that you were the best and pushing yourself to kind of like a Tom Brady chip on your shoulder or a Russell Wilson chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you just never know. And you know, people ask me all the time, what if you didn't have to spend 6 years in Canada and you spent those years in the NFL? I don't know what I would have been doing in the NFL over those 6 years. I could have been holding a clipboard to Roger Staubach or something for
now you're dating yourself, yeah. Buddy. Roger Staubach. These kids in the studio are like, who's that?
I know.
The realtor?
So you just never know. So I just look at what the hand I was dealt, and I tried to make the best out of the hand that was dealt to me. I didn't look at the fact that if I was a first round draft pick, what that would have done for me, or if I would have went to the NFL right out of college, what type of player would I have been? Probably not as good a player, probably not as driven. I probably wouldn't have played as long as I played, because I played with that chip, like you said, on my shoulder for a long time. And that's what kept me going as I got later into my career. And people were wondering, how long is he going to keep playing at this level? But I think because I still had that chip on my shoulder, that kept driving me into wanting to be at my highest level, even though I was getting up there in age. So it's a good question. But, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't mind doing it the same way again, because I really felt like I learned so much more about myself, especially inside, you know, how much heart I had, how much drive and fortitude I had, how much I persevered through things. And I think the lessons that I learned through my journey, I've been able to help a lot of other people by sharing those lessons with them, as opposed to being a guy that just was given the first round draft pick straight into the NFL. My story is not as intriguing.
Yeah, no, you are a man who enjoys the pursuit of his potential and still does, whatever that may be. And I will tell you firsthand, we just got out of a meeting where you were helping a young soccer player from the U.S. team. And the same thing, you are a person who give back that knowledge and inspiration. Well, I'm going to shift a little gears here on the playbook with Warren Moon. This is Dave Meltzer. One of my favorite questions to ask, and I'm really curious just personally, is what's one of your favorite or biggest pet peeves? Something that really pisses you off. Don't say it's me, please. I'll cry my way home, buddy.
I'm kind of a neat freak, you know. I like
that.
I like organization, especially in my own home. But I'll even go into other people's homes, and if I see like dishes on the counter, I'll put them in the dishwasher, or I just
best house gift ever.
I just hate things being out of order, you know, because when I grew up with seven kids in a 2-bedroom house, my mother had a place for everything. Everything had its place, and you did not put those things out of its place. Otherwise, it becomes a big junk pile with all these young kids running around. So I was brought up that way. I don't put my glass on the counter. I put my glass either in the dishwasher or I wash it out and put it away. And I'm kind of that way now. So I'm little bit of a
neat freak.
I am a neat freak, but I'm also hard to be around if you're living with me, because if you put a glass down and that glass sits there more than 15 minutes, it's going to be moved the next time you come back to find it.
I love that about you. You and I could live in Switzerland in Zurich. We'd love it. Everything organized and clean. I'll tell you, I've been blessed to travel with Warren, and we've gone on vacation together, and he's the best person in the world to vacation with, because not only do you wake up, he's gone grocery shopping, everything in order, but he's a tremendous chef. And so you wake up and there's like this 5-star meal, Michelin 3-star breakfast. And then as you're like ready to finish and help, he's cleaning up, taking the dishes, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, Warren, I would marry you. I'm rich. I'm here for you, buddy. My wife, Julie, is like, Dave, slow it down. Not trusting us. But yeah, you're incredible. Now, last question, and then we're going to have to go here on the playbook. My favorite question is, and this is a Warren Moon question, what legacy does Warren Moon want to leave?
You know, there's a lot of different ways I could go with that question, but I think the biggest thing for me is I want people to remember me as a guy who cared about other people, basically. Whether it was my own family, whether it was my closest friends, you know, I'm always trying to provide great opportunities for my kids or for my friends, and then for the people that I feel like are a little bit less fortunate. So I'm always looking out for others. So I think if I want to be remembered for anything, it's just a guy that didn't forget about other people and cared about other people genuinely and always wanted to make other people's lives just a little bit better.
That's awesome. I know we're producing a film with Gary Waxman, the guy that did the Boston 30 for 30, and we're looking at a working title called Presidential. But I think you just inspired me that, you know, maybe the title should be The Caretaker, because I, you know, knowing you, the one thing, whether, you know, people have treated you wrong or treated you right, whether they're extremely wealthy, because you're friends with the wealthiest people in the world, to the poorest people in the world, you're one of those guys that just take care. You want to make sure everyone's taken care of. And I personally love that about you. And I appreciate you coming, you know, taking care of me and being my biggest star on this podcast at the Playbook with the Entrepreneur. It is an honor to have you here, but more importantly, to be my business partner and my friend. And anything I can ever do for you, let me know.
And that's the most important thing. You know, you talked about business partner, but we are really friends. We've really grown into being great friends over the years. And we love each other's families. We love being around each other's families. And I think it really, it helps our business. It helps what we do business-wise because we care so much about one another. And we know that our families are both important to both of us, and we would never do anything to jeopardize anything to our family. So that makes our business, I think, just a little bit better.
Yeah, it makes all the success even better. And well, this is Dave Meltzer. Before I tear up and choke up, I'm here with Warren Moon, number one in your playbook, number one in my heart, here on the Playbook, entrepreneur, CEO of Sports One Marketing, with my business partner and best friend, Warren Moon. Playbook is produced by Nathan Lotka, and our media partner is entrepreneur.com. Be sure to tune in next Monday, where we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom.